Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me on this Holy Thursday. And it is it's a real privilege to be able to spend this time with you every single day. And, you know, we started Lent together on Ash Wednesday. We've made our journey now to the holiest week of the year. We're going to be entering into the Triduum and now participating, of course, in Good Friday, the death of our Lord, and ultimately his resurrection. And then the great Feast of Divine Mercy will follow. And I can't wait for that. The Feast of Divine Mercy is on the very last day of Easter, on the octave of Easter. And I'll fill you in on all that. Tomorrow, two things, okay? This is important. One, we are going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. If you are streaming me right now, anywhere, or you're tuned in, we're going to be praying an hour earlier. On the Pacific time zone, we're going to start at noon. A Mountain 1, Central 2, East Coast 3. All right, so just turn, you know, 1 hour earlier than today. We'll pray that chaplet together. But I'm also going to start tomorrow the Novena to Divine Mercy. And there's a 9-day novena that our Lord himself requested that St. Faustina recite. He actually gave her the intentions, the souls that he wanted us to pray for. And I'll tell you what, I love it. It's one of the only novenas I'm aware of that the Lord ever dictated like that. And we'll start it. I'll fill you in it every day. I'll lead you in it. I'll be posting that on our Twitter page as well so you can share it with others and you can participate with us. But I want to pray for you and pray for your intentions. All right, so let's do that right now. Again, if you want to get in with me, best way to connect is 888-914-9149. It gets you into the studio. Maggie May, she is on our X account, and you can send her a post at Drew Mariani Show. That's at Drew Mariani Show. If you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube, leave us your intentions there too. Maggie's got her eyes on it all. Okay. We always love hearing from you and we love to pray for you. And by the way, thank you for all those answered prayers. Some really great ones came in last night as I was going through my email. And I do want to bring a follow-up to this solar eclipse that's being reported. Little point of clarification. I'll do that maybe a little later in the show, or if not, sometime next week. But Maggie, what's coming in for you? Anything you want to pray for before we launch?
Two in-house intentions. Okay. Peter Atkinson and his wife Naomi had their second baby yesterday. Congratulations and blessings to them. I heard that they barely made it to the birthing center. Oh. And a cop almost pulled them over on the way.
Can't wait to hear that story.
Yeah, I know. And also continued prayers for Father Simon. He's still sick.
Is he still sick? Yeah. I got to call him.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you, Padre. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to call you. I mean, it's hard sometimes to shake these ailments. Please pray for Father. This is a tough time of year, but I know he's going through his own passion. I'm sure it's very meritorious. So if you are suffering, offer a little bit of it for him, and I bet he'll report back Monday. He'll be celebrating Easter with us, right? He'll have his own resurrection. All right, let's pray right now for you. I'll try to get a couple extra calls in if I can today. We'll begin as we do every day in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Is that an extra one, Maggie?
Nope, that was it.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today from Stillwater, Minnesota. Good afternoon, Scott and Brian.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew.
Scott and Brian on the line. That's what my call screener is telling me. Good to have you both.
Yes. Yes. Last we called about Mary Johnson, who befriended her son's killer. She passed away, and Brian was with her.
Oh,
so I
no.
want Brian to share.
First of all, my condolences. Go ahead. I didn't know she was that ill because I had my team. Yeah. We wanted to reach out to her in the weeks ahead to have her come on and talk about that story and the ministry. So, you know, before you hand me off, just very quickly, you know, share with everyone her story, or at least, you know, the great act of forgiveness that she performed.
Yeah, so I'm Brian, Scott's brother. Mary has been in my life for 16 years, and she came to forgive the young man who took her son's life. After years of hating him, she went to prison where she met him and forgave him. And she did that because God put on her heart to start healing groups for mothers on both sides of the tragedy of homicide, to come together, to heal together.
I'm so sorry.
And last night she went home to the Lord and her son, Laremian, who she has not seen in 31 years and 44 days since he died. And her ministry has been so powerful. She's been around the world sharing the story of forgiveness, been touching hearts and minds. And for the last 16 years, she's held a healing group for moms at the St. Jane House, which is sponsored by the Visitation Monastery of Minneapolis. Mm. Six Catholic nuns who have been dear friends of Mary's. And we offered this space for them to come together, to heal together, to pray together. And so she went home to God last night.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And we're planning her service right now. I'm in the room that she left us in. It was so beautiful.
I'm so sorry.
And now her son, her spiritual son, the one who took her son's life, has a relationship with Mary's granddaughter, who came yesterday to say goodbye. And these two, so her Mary's granddaughter has a relationship with the person who killed her dad before she was even born. And so this story is so powerful.
It reminds me so much of Maria Goretti.
Thank you for, so prayers for Mary's widower, Ed, for her granddaughter, Rosie, and great-granddaughter Zariah, for O'Shea, who took her son's life, her spiritual son, and for the mothers that are in her group who are really grieving the loss of their spiritual mom and mentor. So thank you so much.
My condolences go to the family and everyone there. Scott and Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, count on my deepest prayers now and...
If people want to learn more, stjanehouse.org is the website where you can learn more about Mary's story.
You know, I still want to get you guys on. I think it's a story that needs to be told.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
We'll reach out to you, okay, guys? Let's pray right now, though,
thank
okay?
You.
And again, I'm sorry. I often say this, and you might hear me say it again and again, but losing a mother, man, that's a difficult thing. It is. It's hard. I mean, losing a parent's difficult, but there's something about that mother-child bond. Lord, I give you Scott. I give you Brian. I thank you for the saint who you just called home. What an example of heroic virtue. I pray for those who cannot forgive right now, who've been wounded and injured, and they're holding grudges and unforgiveness. Give them that grace, Lord, as you did on the cross, to forgive those who did that to you. Give us all the ability, Lord, to forgive, as we pray in the Our Father. And I just pray for those who are most in need of your mercy in this hour, especially those who have died, who are on their deathbeds, and those who have gone before us. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Leslie's in Concord, California. Hi, Leslie. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I just get to the point is that I have an eating disorder, and it's such a cross to bear, and I know a lot of other people struggle with the same thing, and I just want to pray for myself and anybody else struggling with this. And I'd hold out a big cup to be completely healed today, and that God will lead the way with mercy and graces for this to not be my struggle so much. And that's it.
I love your prayer. Well, you know, we're with you. Okay. And I'm sorry for the cross that you have to carry. It's a difficult one. It really is. And you're not alone. You're the voice for so many other people. And let's pray right now for anyone who is suffering from anorexia, from bulimia, any sort of eating disorder, any compulsive behavior. Lord, I don't know what the source of this dysfunction or wound is, but I just pray you go in and you heal it. I just give you my sister in Christ here. I give you Leslie. And I know you said the greater and the more persistent our confidence is in you, the more abundantly that we're going to receive what we ask. And I trust you totally. I do. And I just ask that from this moment forward, that Leslie begin to be empowered and that she can rise above this great challenge, this great cross that she has in her life. And I just ask you, liberate her and free her from it. And I give this intention to you, and I bring to the foot of your cross, Lord Jesus, all those who suffer in these ways. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to Julie, who's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, let me go over to Maggie. Maggie, before you do, I want to continue to pray for Sabina. Keeps coming to my mind at this time. I want to pray for Dr. Bob Tabali, too. Bob, we are praying for you and for John Schaefer, his friend, those two guys I'm going to present today.
And Dr. John Littell.
Yeah, John Littell. You know the other one, Dr. Lou Tartaglia. I don't know if he's listening.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that we're talking on the air. He's tuned in. And
I know, they're always listening.
All these great contributors. I'm going to lift them all up, Lord.
Jorge wrote to us on X, Drew. He said, Drew and Maggie, I pray from Indianapolis, and I would like to ask that I can attend the Eucharistic Congress this July with the help from a Solidarity Fund. Sister Sue wrote to us. She said, hey, Maggie and Drew, I'm asking for prayers for my beautiful daughter. Please pray for her to have strength and discernment as she struggles with temptations in her life. Elizabeth says, please pray for the nephew of mine who's coming into the church, that he has a forever faith, and that he may rest and the rest of his family may follow. Christopher says, God bless you. Could you please pray for the 15 people in RCIA that are coming into the church this
All
Saturday?
Right. Great prayer.
These new Catholics are coming home at the Church of St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, Minnesota. Christopher says, I am one of the sponsors. Thank you, Chris. And I just want to tack on to that for all catechumens and all elect coming into the faith this weekend. Joe and I have the privilege of being godparents this year for a wonderful young couple that were both raised in completely secular houses. and they sought truth together as a couple, and it led them to the church. So
that's great. Are they coming into the church?
They are. They're being baptized.
You weren't their sponsors. You're the godparents.
We're the godparents. Oh, that's great. Yeah, so cool. And they have a little 8-month-old baby who's just such a little angel. And the only worry they have, we've been praying all week that little baby Lucian would be tired and sleepy and well behaved during the vigil mass.
I love it. Well, speaking of Lucian, let's pray for Lucian Greaves.
Lucian Greaves.
All right, we'll continue to pray for him.
Always.
Head of the church of, is it the Satanic Temple?
Yeah.
Satanic Temple. All right, Lord, we give you all those who have lost their way in a particular way, and all those intentions, Maggie Voice. A lot of emails have come into the show the other day as well, and was going through a lot of emails, responded to some people last night, but I want to lift up everybody who's on hold and who's written to us as well. Julie is praying with us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Hey. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. Great to have you.
Thank you for taking my hold. Yeah, so I'm just going to piggyback on that. I am somebody going through RCIA, and I wanted prayers for everybody going through that process and coming into the full communion of the Catholic Church.
Way to go, Julie.
This weekend. And yeah, and also our instructors, right? I mean, they have such a special and important job. So especially my RCIA instructor, Josh, he's been great. And then also for you guys, because you have been part of my conversion story. I've been listening to you guys for years.
That's
and
awesome.
So just wanted to lift up all those intentions.
Well,
today.
You know, Julie, we're going to be praying for you. I'm so happy for you. You are going to, there's so much grace coming your way. I'm so, so excited for you. I'll tell you what, Maggie, remind me, let's do something on Monday, not tomorrow, but Monday. And Julie, call back. I want to hear the stories of those who've entered the church and what brought you in. You know, it's such a great tale.
Oh,
you might inspire others. So I think Monday at some point in time, on Resurrection Monday, we'll do that, okay? And I'd love to hear your whole story, but I'm going to pray for you right now, Julie. So glad you got through today. Again, we give you these catechumens. I pray for those who are on the fence now, those who've left the church, Lord, those who have rejected you. And I just pray for a super abundance of grace to flow. Give me grace so I may convert to a deeper love for you and a greater commitment to you, Lord. And I re-echo that for all who are praying with me, that we may know you and love you and be with you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Beverly in Las Vegas, Nevada. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, Beverly.
Drew, hi. So good to hear your voice. My son is, I left him in the hospital. He's very, very sick. I need prayers for him. He only has one kidney, and I don't know if they're going to fix it.
All right.
Please pray for him.
All right, Beverly, let's pray right now, okay? And I want you to be at peace.
Yes.
Remember anxiety, and I know it's natural to be concerned and upset. It doesn't do anything for us. The Lord says the more soul trusts, the more it receives. You know, anxiety won't do a thing. So in these moments where you really want to be overwhelmed by it, say, Lord, I trust in you. Now, I'm going to stand on your promise. And right now, we're going to join you in prayer. We're going to pray from this moment that your son's health change and his recovery begins. We've had many miracles when it comes to vital organs. I don't know why, but I give you the kidney, Lord. I give you all those with renal problems, all those in the hospital now, all those in recovery, those in preparing for surgery, all those in ICU. Lord, I just give to you them, their caregivers as well, all those physicians, first responders. And Lord, I just ask in a special way for your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Judy in Los Angeles, California. Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Drew. It's so nice talking to you.
Hey.
So this is John Jacob. I'm gonna turn 11, but I can't,
right.
I have to move. Like, I can't celebrate my birthday today because it's like Holy Thursday, so I have to celebrate it on Easter.
That's a bummer, huh? You got to wait, right? Well, I hope you get extra gifts on Easter. And Jacob, you're turning 11 today. That's fantastic. Well, this is... I want to pray for you, okay? Any special intentions you have?
I want to be like a doctor, like in the future.
Oh, I hope you are. Well, let's pray for that. You know what? Let me pray for your vocation right now. And Lord, I give you John Jacob. Happy birthday to you, John Jacob. I pray for blessings on his family. I heard his mom in the back there. And Lord, I just pray that this boy have special gifts and graces. And we need good physicians. We need those who are going to serve. And I just entrust him right now to your merciful heart and illuminate his path. And I ask for special graces on all those who have birthdays today and all those who have birthdays in this month. And Lord, I just give you the needs, the wants, the desires of all who are now united with me. Everyone who's on hold, everyone who's written, everyone who hears my voice. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your unfathomable mercy. And I trust in it as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Saint Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hey, just one final minute of your time. Quick reminder. Take out your phone if you can or jot this down. Tomorrow we are praying this prayer an hour early. I hope you can join me. We're going to get right into it at the top of the show. Tomorrow is Good Friday. And it was that day that the Lord hung on the cross. He told St. Faustina it was that moment that mercy triumphed over evil. And we'll pray tomorrow. So tell others and join me for what will be an extraordinarily powerful chaplet. We'll also begin the great Novena of Divine Mercy. And I'll fill you in on all the details about that tomorrow. So I hope you'll join me. Tell others about it too, okay? I'll be back with more right after this. Stay with me.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So glad to be able to share the faith with you. And if you're not Catholic, I really invite you to do this, okay? Today's a great day to do it. It's a day that Jesus Christ himself, at the Last Supper, instituted the Eucharist. He instituted the priesthood. You know, for centuries, we were all on the same page until we had the great split with the Reformation, with Luther and those 95 theses. And then from there, we see the splinters continue. And it really is unfortunate, but I think you're going to find a beauty, a majesty, a power in the faith. So if you're on the fence, and you say, yeah, there's something about Catholicism that has always intrigued me or drew me, I invite you to explore it. All you have to do is go to your local, find a Catholic church and say, hey, I want to talk to a priest, and tell the priest, I'm just curious about the faith. There's no commitment. You don't sign a paper. You don't, you know, you're not going to draw blood. They'll simply invite you to learn more. And they'll either recommend material for you or invite you to what they call an RCIA class. It's a way that you can learn a little bit more about the faith. There are great organizations out there that have tons of information. For example, if you are a fallen away Catholic, and you might say, Drew, I like Relevant Radio, but, you know, I just am so bored at church, or I just, you know, I don't need organized religion. You know, I have a relationship with God. Yeah, I know. We hear that a lot. Check out Catholics Come Home, okay? Check out Catholics Come Home. If you're not receiving the sacraments, you're doing yourself a tremendous disservice. You're doing your eternal soul a tremendous disservice. And, you know, this is all part of the great deception of the evil one. This is all part of what Satan, you know, is dancing with joy because of. You know, if he can convince you you don't need the sacraments, he's got a victory. I mean, life is very short. You don't know the day or the hour. And I'll tell you what, our immortal souls, they live forever. And I hope and I pray that I will, when I stand before God, be prepared to meet him. And I pray that for you, too. I really do. And I would ask you today, and I was thinking about this earlier, so much to talk about this afternoon, but I want to give tribute to our priests who have been, they've been so maligned in the culture. They've been so beaten up. They've been so misrepresented. You know, I know a lot of people left the church because of the scandal. And if you watch the news outlets, like it makes my blood boil, actually, when I see some of these reporters do these packages on priests and sexual abuse. And you would think every man that wore a collar was a pedophile, and that could not be further from the truth. You know, there were some real problems within the church, and that came to light, and that has now been remedied. There's been protocols put in, and we see the numbers have dropped precipitously. One case of abuse is too much, of course, but as a result of it, you know, the church has really taken a beating, and so have the priesthood. I think 95, only 4% of the priesthood was involved in that sexual abuse scandal. That means 96% of men who said yes to God, who are faithful to the vows of their ordination, were swept up in that. And it really is a tragedy. It really is a tragedy. Our Lady, in a couple of her different apparition sites, she's been appearing around the world. She has asked to pray in particular for our priests, our bishops, and our cardinals. In fact, I remember in Akita, Japan, this is a church-approved apparition back in 1973, where a wooden statue, wept 101 times to a nun. Her name was Sister Agnes Sasagawa. I actually had the privilege as a documentary filmmaker to go there and film her and interview her personally. And spoke to her about the apparitions because the Mother of God appeared to her. And one of the messages there, this was 73. I wasn't there in 73. Of course, I went 20 years later probably. In 73, when the Virgin was appearing to her, basically, she said to her, you know, the cup is filling up. She warned of what was to come. She asked us to pray for our priest. She reminded Sister to tell the world that Christ exists, that he's an intimate part of life, that he is truly present in the Eucharist. And I was always struck by this vision. Why? Because this was just several years before what would happen. We know in the 80s, the infection What happened in the seminaries and the church began to take place, come to light in the 2000s, of course. But it was almost like Our Lady was saying, pray, please pray, because Satan is strong and he wants to infiltrate. He wants to attack the sons of mine. And that's exactly what happened. And that message has not stopped. You know, I know I have several friends who are priests, and I've spoken to them many times. It can be a very lonely calling at times. One priest said to me, you know, Sundays is the loneliest day of the week for me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You've got Mass. He goes, Drew, it's when all that is over. And we go back, you know, to my rectory, and I'm there alone. It used to be that there was fellowship. There were a lot of priests. Rectories were filled. You know, people would invite the priest to their home for dinner. You know, there was a lot going on. We don't see that anymore. Yeah, those men are always there for us. She was very, very honest with me and open about some men that he knew. I mean, addiction can easily creep into the priesthood because Satan has a hatred and enmity for these men. And you might see alcohol, you might see pornography, you might see other things. And I'm not saying this to diminish these men, please. And I hope no one interprets it as that. There's a lot of men who that does not happen to. If you have a strong prayer life, if you are close to God, if you fast, if you frequent the sacraments, that is your spiritual armor. That is your protection. And it goes for laity as well as for priests. But, you know, at the end, you know, there is a saying I once heard that the devil has no knees. Satan was once compelled by God to show himself, you know, to this desert father. There is a story about, I think it was Abbot Apollo. The most striking thing about Satan that the saint saw was that the devil had no knees. That's what he said. The inability to kneel was his point. The inability to kneel in humility before God is the very essence of the diabolical. Why? Because the devil despises humility. That's why he hates Our Lady. That's why he hates a humble soul. That's why he is powerless over a soul that is prayerful and humble. That's why he hates the sacraments. That's why he hates confession. Satan's hatred against that sacrament is powerful for a number of reasons. One, it liberates you from him. It takes those hooks out of you. It breaks those chains. But he has a seething hatred directed against priests. Why? Because they see our humility as we kneel before God. It's the priest who lends his voice to God. We hear him absolve us. We hear him say, your sins are forgiven. It's as Faustina said, it is not the priest that you encounter, but it is Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord told her. He's only hidden by the priest. But when you go to confession, you kneel before Jesus. That's why Satan hates our priests. He hates them. Hates them. The very end of our lives, at the sacrament of the last rites, it will be the priest that anoints you and who lends his hands, those hands of Christ, the loving hands that will anoint you and send you on your final journey. I pray to God I have that privilege. So, Lord, hear my prayer. And when that time comes, when you close your eyes for the last time on earth, it's the voice of a priest that will walk you into eternity. And then you open your eyes for the first time and you look in the face of God. I mean, think about that. Think about the beauty of these men, the vocation that they have. Without priests, you would have no Eucharist. You'd have no sacrament of reconciliation, no one to administer those rites. You know, Pope John Paul II told us that prayer united with fasting, it is the most powerful force in the entire world. It's the most powerful force in history, in human history. Prayer and fasting. And I believe that because with prayer and fasting, Our Lady says you can find ways out of situations that have no way out. You're facing an impossible situation. Try prayer coupled with fasting. All right? Do those two things. If you have somebody addicted, pray and fast. If your marriage is in trouble, pray and fast. If you are weak in faith or somebody you love is, pray and fast. And today, and this is my point why I'm bringing this up. I it was put on my heart earlier today as I was spending time with the Lord. We need to pray for our priests. You know, I pray for myself and I pray for family and I pray for you. And, you know, I don't always specifically remember these beautiful men. And today, as a way to say thank you for the time they baptized your child or performed that wedding or gave you that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, that sacrament of mercy, or gave you the Eucharist, were there for you or your loved one while they were in the hospital ill with the sacrament of the anointing, the sick, or gave last rites to somebody you love. Let's pray for them. Pray for and support priests who serve us in so many ways. You know, they preach the word of God. They give you the sacraments. They bury the dead. They witness your marriage, right? They counsel you in difficult times. The church, the life of the church, would not exist without them. And again, you keep hearing the media talk about this separation between the hierarchical church and the real church of people. Neither one of those churches exist, okay? That's a false dichotomy. The church cannot exist without priests. I mean that literally. If we didn't have priests, we wouldn't have the church because we wouldn't have the sacraments. And without the saving grace of the sacraments, there would be no reason for the church to exist. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So let's pray today. Let's fast for them. If you could do that, I'll tell you what, it would do wonders for these beautiful men who are attacked by the evil one. I often hear that, you know, you and I all went at birth or we're given these guardian angels, but priests are given extra angels because of their ministry. Why? Well, because Satan targets special demons. He knows the weakness of these men. They're human just like us. He knows what they can do for us and for our salvation and our souls, and those demons will do whatever they can to attack those men, whether it is through temptation, whether it's through apathy, whatever it might be, you know? So pray. I'm going to share something I heard years ago at a conference I was at. It's called The Hands of Holy Orders. It was written by Larry and Mary Sue Eck. I think Bob and Rita, I think their last name is Boki, if I can remember correctly. We'll put this up on our Twitter page so you can share this. But let me just share this. I'll share part of it. It might be a little bit on the long side, but let me just see. I'll share part of it with you. And they write this. They say, look at the palms of your hands. And remember back to the day when your bishop anointed them and sent you forth to love and to serve us. This is written to priests. Remember the plans you had that day that your hands gathered and ministered to your people. Think of the hands, young and nervous, which have joined in the sacrament of matrimony. Think back to the babies these hands have baptized, and think of the children these hands have prepared for First Communion and Confirmation. Think of the hundreds of homilies these hands have written, carefully choosing words that transform lives. Think of the countless times these hands have been held up in blessing and forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now think of your last Mass and so many others when you took plain bread and wine into those hands and changed them into the body and blood of Christ. Think of the hands, our hands, which you place his precious body and the cup of his precious blood. Think of the retreats and the missions, the days and the nights of renewal that these hands have prepared. Think of the people these hands have gathered and touched and sent forth. Think of the times these hands have reached out and grasped our lives, our prayer circle of love. Think of these hands, young and nervous, which your hands have joined in the sacrament of matrimony. Think of the sick in mind and body who have come seeking help and have left with hope alive in their hearts again. Think of the dying bodies these hands have anointed into paradise. Today, we anoint these hands anew with our love, with the love of the entire Catholic family. If ever in the days ahead you feel lonely and discouraged, please remember these words. Please hold up your hands and look at them and remember how they fed us the bread of life, how they brought hope back into our lives, how they comforted us, healed us, and welcomed us home to the church again. We wish we could take you by the hand and stand at the busiest intersection in town and shout to the world, look, everyone, this is our beloved priest in whom we are well pleased. These hands of yours are the hands of the Sacrament of Holy Orders. We reverence them. We cannot live our lives without them, without you. Thank you for faithfully loving and serving us. We are so proud that you are our beloved priests. Again, that is called The Hands of Holy Orders, written by Larry and Mary Sue Eck and Bob and Rita Boki. And feel free to share that with your priests. And please, today in a special way, remember him. Pray for him. Pray for your priests, your bishops, and your cardinals. They need it, and we need it. Hey, if you haven't heard, the next Relevant Radio pilgrimage is being led by Father Rocky. He's going to Poland and Prague this September. And tickets for the trip are almost sold out. You can reserve your spot today at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I was sharing a personal experience I had about my first encounter with a priest. You know, you look at these guys like they're ivory statues, but I'll have to share some of that with you. And I'll take your calls, too. If you want to get in, if there was a priest that really changed your life, maybe he helped you come back into the church, maybe it was conversion, maybe he forgave you, maybe it's something, a piece of advice he gave. Brian is listening in Little Rock, Arkansas. Brian, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Peace be with you, Drew.
Hey, and with you.
Man, what a great topic. I think it's such a... we don't do it enough. Honor our priests. Amen. I've got a cousin who teaches at the seminary in the Vatican in Rome. And he shares with me that the most difficult time for the priesthood is their first 5 years, because they've been in this fraternity of 8 years of formation. Yeah. And many times they get assigned to a remote area, and they really can't cook for themselves, and they get apple pie, and they, you know, put on weight.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the greatest blessings in our family has been to have priests over for dinner. And they crave that, these priests. And it has been such a rich blessing for our kids just to see these priests at a personal level at the dinner table. And if I could just briefly just...
Sure.
I was away from the church for 20-some years.
Wow.
And came back to the church. And I got to tell you, I came back to church in 2011, but... I started listening to Relevant Radio in January of this year, and man, my faith has grown warp speed.
I love that.
But
that's great.
When I came back to the church, I called my mom and dad and told them I had come back.
Oh, wow.
My dad said, "Your mother's been praying a rosary for you every day."
Oh,
and I went back to Wichita, and my mom says, "You need to go see Monsignor Carr." Well, Father Carr was our pastor growing up in Wichita. So I went to see him. He's retired. He's very frail. And he said, "To what do I owe this, the pleasure of this visit?" And I said, "Well, I just want to let you know I came back to the church." And he was, again, older and frail, but he gets up, Drew, and walks over to his nightstand, and he takes his little notebook, and he takes a pencil, and he said, "So what are you doing?" And he said, "Your mom told me when you left the church.
Oh, my gosh.
But I've been praying for you, and now that you're back.
Wow.
I'm taking you off my list." And Drew, even the detail in this story just brings me to tears, but that this priest, of all the people in his flock, that he would say to my mom, "I'll pray for Brian." And last thing I would tell you, and ever since I heard that story, and I think every man, particularly, I think, you know, everyone, but I particularly encourage men to do this. When you leave church on Sunday, don't say "great homily." Don't say, "Look him in the eye, shake him in the hand," and say, "Thank you for your priesthood."
Wow.
"Thank you for your priesthood."
Amen. Hey, Brian, I love your story. You ought to write that down because, you know, you give so many mothers hope. My own mother prayed for my father probably 20, 30 years at least for his conversion. It was the rosary that did it every day, nonstop. And the power of prayer. I often say to people, because you look at your son or your loved one or whoever it is that's so far away from the faith, they think he'll never come back. Prayer converts the most hardened heart, the most wayward soul. And what a beautiful testimony you are today. I am so grateful for your call. I'm so glad you're back home. And thank you for sharing that with us today and for the advice that you left with us.
Well, Drew, I can't. Your chaplet at 3 o'clock is beautiful. The memorare is beautiful. These priests are beautiful men, so well said. And God bless you and the ministry of Relevant Radio. And thank you for our priests, Lord. Thank you for our priests.
God bless you. You know, I didn't think I was going to talk much about the priesthood. I thought I'd give you the origins of the priesthood, the biblical roots, and how Mass came about, and, you know, give a little kind of 101 on the history and the theology behind it all, maybe talk about the Eucharist. We'll still do that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit works sometimes in mysterious ways through this program. And I think today is the day we really should, as Brian had pointed out, really thank our priests. And you might not be able to say it personally to them today, but you could pray. You can offer a small sacrifice. As I said, they need our prayers. We get so much from them, and sometimes we take them for granted. And I'm telling you, Satan hates them. He cannot stand them. And as Brian points out, you know, it's a big adjustment, that life. There's some great sacrifices made, but I know the blessing that they receive, the light that they will shine with in the next life is going to be amazing. Let's go to our next call. Rita in South Dakota. Hi, Rita. Good afternoon.
I just wanted to share a really amazing story about the pastor of our parish when I was in eighth grade. His name was Father Joe Shamanic. He's gone to Jesus by now, but this one morning, it was a parish with a Catholic school attached. And I arrived at school, and I had this internal desire to go into the church. And I walked in, and the night before, some young people had broken in and vandalized the church. And they had desecrated the tabernacle. And I found Father Shamanic on his hands and knees.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Crawling around the whole church, picking up and consuming every consecrated host that had been desecrated by these young people. And I'll never forget that. It was so profound.
Wow.
The tears ran down his face. They ran down mine.
Oh.
And that was, God, that was probably 35 years ago. And to this day, it brings tears to my eyes to think how intense his love for the Eucharist was.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was willing to forgive these people who had done this terrible thing and to just honor and adore Jesus in such an amazing way.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that, Rita. And it is a tribute to not just that priest. I know he's with God now, as you pointed out, but boy, it really speaks to his true, his belief in the true presence of the Eucharist. And what a witness it was for you. And who, you know, that, now look, he's reaching the nation and the world with that act. It makes me think of what happened with Bishop Sheen, too, when how he started his 1 hour of Eucharistic adoration every day. He had heard the story of a young girl, saw the same thing happen. You know, the church was desecrated. This was, I believe, in China. And, the priest in the rectory was not allowed to leave it. They had guards posted out there. But a little girl would sneak into the church every day. There were 30-some hosts on the floor. And every night she'd come in and consume one, sneak past the guards and get in. And the final night, she was discovered, and those guards beat her brutally. They beat her to death. That she loved the Eucharist so much, had such reverence for our Lord, truly present in it, she was willing to risk her life, which she ultimately gave. And when Bishop Sheen heard about that, he vowed every day to do an hour of Eucharistic adoration. So Sheen also said to many priests about the Eucharist, he says, you know, they'd marvel at him because he was a big TV star and, you know, he was such a great speaker. He says, if you want sparks to fly from the podium, then do 1 hour of Eucharistic adoration every day. And that's really where the power comes from. It's not for how much we know. It's not for how many years we've done something. It really is animated. All right, it's empowered by the Spirit when it comes to preaching and to the work of God. And she knew that. And it was a lesson to all of us. It's a lesson, ultimately, to me. Rita, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful call. Oceanside, California. James, good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, James. Good to have you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just there's a priest out here in Oceanside. His name's Father Kavanaugh. Really just a gentle man. And I was a little bit late going to confession because he always starts confession 30 minutes before Mass. Right. And when I was walking up, he was about to walk away. But he stopped, and he stood there, and he heard my confession. And then I walked away, and then I was able to, you know, consume the Eucharist. And then I was looking online, and he's the only priest that has confession daily 30 minutes before Mass.
God bless.
So then I thought about it. It's like, wow, like he has to be up at 5 o'clock every morning, you know, at 30 minutes before Mass. And everyone has that ability to go into Mass and then to take our Lord, you know, in a state of grace because he's willing to, you know, give his time like that. So I thought that was really powerful.
James, thanks for sharing that. I love the story. I had a very similar experience the other day. I had gone to church and church was full. I was in the very back and there's a church in my community here has Mass, has confession every day around 11:30 to 12, right before the noon Mass. And the priest had been in there for a long time. He came out and I just said, hey, Father, thanks so much for hearing confessions, because there's not many places in this community that does it. And if you are a priest listening to me, you know, I think of the Cure of Ars. Think of St. John Vianney and how he converted his entire community, one of the patrons of the priesthood. He would spend hours and hours in the confessional, and at first nobody came. But soon, you know, not only did his holiness and his example of prayer and the priesthood— He'd be in that for 16 hours. People would come from foreign nations just to go to confession to this great priest. Of course, Satan hated him. He'd beat him up and turn his, you know, light his bed on fire and do all sorts of things. But the fruit of that one priest and his action converted his parish. And I just want to invite you. I'm not a priest, and I know that it takes, it is a sacrifice, it's a lot of time, but avail yourself of that great gift of this, of the sacrament of reconciliation.